Coming up on KUCB News, councilors have accepted the city manager's resignation, and recovering eagles are flying again in Sitka. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Wednesday, April 10th, 2019. The Unalaska City Council has accepted the resignation of City Manager Thomas E. Thomas, though it's still unclear why he's leaving the position. Last night, councilors voted unanimously to amend Thomas's contract to keep him on the job through May 31st and then send him off with $20,000 in severance. Mayor Frank Kelty was the only person to comment on the resignation or the severance package. Joining the meeting by phone, he said this before the vote.
Yeah, I just urged the council to adopt this. And when I return tomorrow, Thursday morning, I will I'll be signing the agreement part that Mr. Thomas has already signed. So we'll have it all taken care of. Thank you.
After the vote, Kelty spoke again briefly.
Yeah, I would just like to thank Mr. Thomas for his time in Unalaska and wish him well in all his future endeavors. Thank you.
Approached by KUCB after the meeting, Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson declined to comment on why the city manager is leaving. Thomas himself also declined to comment, but when asked if he'd be open to speaking about his resignation later, he told KUCB, quote, at some point. Councilors have made no public comments on Thomas's overall work performance since he started as city manager in March of 2018 with a salary of $170,000. They selected him for the job unanimously over three other finalists, including Assistant City Manager Aaron Reinders. For now, it's unclear how the city will handle Thomas's departure. Councilors did not address the search for his replacement last night, and Reinders recently received an offer to work as city manager in Seward, though she hasn't accepted it yet. Again, Thomas's last day as Unalaska city manager is set for May 31st. His severance package guarantees his city housing and use of a city vehicle through June 15th. Meanwhile, in state government news, Governor Mike Dunleavy called a press conference yesterday to send a message to lawmakers, namely that they aren't moving fast enough to pass his big priorities this session. As KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, that's not an idle threat, because Dunleavy can veto the budget and call special sessions if the legislature does not advance his three constitutional amendments and crime bills.
Governor Dunleavy says the amendments he introduced would allow public votes on changes to taxes or permanent fund dividends. And he says the crime problem requires more action.
But if we're not going to have any discussions on constitutional amendments allowing the people of Alaska to vote, and if we're really not going to have a serious discussion on the crime issue, it makes it real tough to come up with a deal.
Dunleavy said during a press conference that the House hasn't cut spending enough in the budget proposal it's debating.
And if all we're going to have in the budget are reductions in the neighborhood, then we really haven't accomplished much this year.
Dunleavy didn't rule out using his authority to issue line item vetoes and to call the legislature into special sessions to pressure lawmakers to pass more of his agenda.
You'll get a better idea what we're looking at when we get to see what they're doing in terms of the work on the Senate side of things. So we're not going to put any tools off the table, and I'm not going to be afraid to use any of the tools that the Constitution has provided the executive.
Dunleavy says Alaskans are entitled to a full dividend under a 1982 state law. That would equal roughly $3,000. The governor also says he has the ability to veto public school funding. That position differs from that of nonpartisan lawyers for the legislature. They've said unless the legislature makes changes, a law passed last year establishes how much the state must fund schools next year. Anchorage Republican Senate President Kathy Geisel says crime has been the top priority of the Senate majority since before the session began. She expects the governor's crime bill package to advance in the Senate.
Interestingly, we're not hearing about it so much from our constituents right now. We're hearing mostly about the budget. knowing that these criminal justice reform bills are critical for public safety, the safety of families and businesses in the state, we are focused on them. At the same time, we also acknowledge there will be added cost, and that cost is not necessarily included in the budget at this time.
Dillingham Independent House Speaker Bryce Edgman says he's focused on what it will take to end the session.
Clearly, I think both sides are going to have to look at where they're at, and then my hope is that we can work towards an arrangement that both of us can support.
Edgman says lawmakers will talk with Dunleavy and his staff as soon as Wednesday about what it will take to agree on a budget. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
While Dunleavy is pushing his agenda in Juneau, former Governor Bill Walker has a new job. Walker is an attorney, and last week he joined the law office formerly known as Brenna Bell and Clarkson. The firm has changed its name to Brenna Bell and Walker, according to a document filed Friday in a federal case. The Clarkson deleted from the name is Kevin Clarkson, who left his job to work as attorney general in Dunleavy's Republican administration. Walker is 68 years old, and he's a Republican turned independent who was elected in 2014. He suspended his campaign in last year's governor's race after the resignation of his lieutenant governor, Democrat Byron Malotz. Before he was elected, Walker and his wife Donna ran their own law firm where their clients included the city of Valdez. After Walker was elected, the firm was sold to Robin Brenna, who also works on oil and gas law. Walker says he expects to resume working for Valdez, though he declined to identify other potential clients.
Since I came out of law school, my focus has been on municipal law and helping municipalities and their, you know, legal and economic development issues and opportunities. So I'll be doing that, and as well as on the oil and gas side, I've certainly been involved in that, and I'll continue that as well.
And while Walker has rejoined the private sector, he hasn't completely closed the door on his political career. In February, he reported transferring $47,000 into an account for a potential future campaign. The weather may still be catching up, but it is officially spring. For the Alaska Raptor Center in Sitka, that means discharging a number of its bird of prey patients. The center takes in injured eagles, hawks, and owls throughout the year. But to give them a better chance at a full recovery in the wild, it delays their release until herring and other prey are back in Sitka Sound. KCAW's Enrique Perez de la Rosa has more from this year's release.
During the spring release, staff and volunteers of the Alaska Raptor Center step aside and allow contributing members, donors, and outstanding Sitkins to set the birds free. People like Sitka Tribal Council member Bob Sam, whose father was an eagle.
We kind of look at animals and birds like human beings. And they're no different than human beings. They have a spirit. And eagles were like my father's people, so it's like releasing my father today. To see an eagle get well and go back to the wild is beautiful. It's beautiful. And to be able to see eagles out there thriving in southeast Alaska, there's not enough money in the world to have the kind of feeling I have right now.
Before seeing the actual raptors, Sam and others releasing eagles and hawks don thick leather coats and gloves and are instructed on how to safely handle the raptors using a plush bald eagle.
It's all about that. So then you're going to come in underneath my arm, and then the bird will go transfer that way.
Meanwhile, inside the center's clinic, avian director Jennifer Cedarleaf works to make sure the birds are ready for release. There's nothing she and the medical team want more than to release eagles back into the wild. But it's not as simple as opening the door to the birdcage.
When we release an eagle, we want to pick them up and make sure that they don't have any injuries, that they're healthy enough to get back out there.
Cedarleaf and her teammates examine the birds before they're set free to make sure they're healthy. They make sure the birds have recovered from their initial injuries, but have also taken well to being held in captivity.
Keeping birds in captivity, especially larger raptors like eagles, if they don't have the correct kind of perching, they can get something called bumblefoot, which is basically like pressure sores on their feet, and we won't know until we have them in our hands. So we want to make sure the birds are healthy.
Holding onto the wild bird to examine it is not easy either, especially once it's healthy. Cedarleaf says that's when they have the energy to resist and can be potentially dangerous.
A big female could have, their feet can be as big as my hand. So, and I mean, I have kind of small hands, but still, their feet can be huge. And being a person who has actually been grabbed by an eagle in the hand before, it hurts.
Injured birds usually stay at the Raptor Center for about 6 months, unless they have broken bones, which take longer to heal. In January, Cedar Leaf says the center admitted about 30 starving eagles that struggled to find food when the salmon stopped running in streams. But now in the spring, with herring back on the menu, it's time to set the raptors free. While Cedar Leaf and her team examine the birds, a crowd of Sitkins gathers in a muskeg where they wait with their cameras at the ready. Executive Director Jen Cross says the first eagle release has become a Sitka tradition to welcome the spring.
It's a very exciting time for the entire town. You can just sense it. And we're going to get some longer days, beautiful sunsets, and opportunities to enjoy the outdoors. So, as part of that, ringing in the spring, it just seems so appropriate to release these eagles that are so iconic and important in our community back into the wild where they belong.
Cross says witnessing the release of a raptor is exciting for most and sometimes overwhelming for those releasing the birds.
Just knowing that this bird that was, close to death at one point is beaten the odds and is now going to fly free. And just birds in general hold a special place in, I think, the human heart because they can fly and they just soar in the sky and they're that symbolism of freedom. And I think when people are taking a small part in sending the bird back to where it belongs, it's powerful.
The crowd counts down and falls silent once the eagle takes off, except for the clicks of their camera shutters. The Raptor Center released 7 birds during their first release and will continue to let raptors soar throughout the summer and fall while herring and salmon are plenty in the wild. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Enrique Perez de la Rosa.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.